All right, now it is working. All right, in Genesis chapter 21, we need to... Now wait a minute, I may not be in the right chapter either. Yeah, it's in Genesis chapter 21. Go down to verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. All right, well, let's pray again. Lord, I pray you'd help us now. It's going to be harder since I don't have what I've prepared before me. Pray you'd help me to recall to my mind what the things that you laid out in order for me, and I pray you'd help us now and bless your word as it goes out and help us to get the message as it is in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what we're talking about here this morning, mostly, is the first verse that we read there. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and his chief captain of his host spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now, how do you know that somebody is with God in all that they do? And a better question to ask yourself is, how do you know if God's with you in all that you do? You know, I mean, that's pretty important, don't you think? If God's with you or not. If God be with us, who can be against us? You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, you know, it's just pretty important to know that God is with you. And it's also important to be able to figure out that God is with somebody else. Abimelech had watched Abraham here for a long time. The first thing about it is you can't just... pick one thing or one circumstance or one thing that somebody's done and decide whether or not God's with him. Now, most people do that. They'll hang on one thing. Boy, if you done one thing wrong, you're X'd out for good. And then other people are just as extreme the other way. If you do one thing good, I mean, you're no matter what else you do, you're okay. And that's a lot less common, but that is the truth. You know, people will stick with people and claim they're of God when they're obviously not, just because of some certain thing that happened back yonder somewhere. Now, Abraham's, the first experience that Abimelech had with Abraham was not good. You remember we read that here a week or two ago? Abimelech took Sarah again, took Abraham's wife, because she said, he's my brother. And Abraham said, she's my sister. So he took her. And God came to Abimelech in a dream, you know, and said, boy. But Abimelech came to Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? Why'd you do this to us? You've done things to me that ought not to be done. That was Abimelech's first experience with Abraham. So now we're down the road quite a ways, and you see Abimelech come to Abraham after he's watched his life now for a period of time. It's been a few years at least, and he's come to the conclusion that God is with thee in whatsoever thou doest, in all things that thou doest. That's where he said it. Now, what made him think that? You know, think about it. What was it about Abraham that made Abimelech come to that conclusion? We're talking about a man who's a lost man. He don't know God. He's not a saved person. He's not a worshiper of God. He's a Philistine. And he comes and that's what he's come to the conclusion with about Abraham. And he's decided that it's in his best interest to make an agreement with Abraham to get along. Because God is with Abraham in all things that he does. So, let me see here. Abraham was honest in his dealings as far as money and stuff like that. Abraham wasn't out to get everybody. He wasn't out to make something off of everybody. Abraham kept to himself. You know, he really did. He wasn't out there with the world. He didn't join in with them. But he dealt with them and he lived with them. And you know, it's not the things that are external that cause people to really conclude that God is with you. Now, a lot of people do that. They just look for outward blessings. In other words, they think, and their judgment is that if a person has no trouble in their life and they're rich and everything goes well for them, then God's blessed them. In other words, gain is godliness. And in other words, it's the same message all these prosperity preachers in our day are preaching, health and wealth, you know, that's the evidence of God's blessing. Well, that's not the way it is. Is not the way it is. And that's not what Abimelech was looking at in Abraham to conclude that God was with him. I guarantee you that it was not. Abraham had problems in his home. We've been talking about some of those. Abraham stumbled in his life. And, you know, there were things that were bad in Abraham's life. So that's not the issue. That's not how you decide. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We live in this world with ungodly people, along with godly people. And they all have the same troubles out of the things of life. We all get sick. We all lose loved ones. We all have our troubles with making a living and everything else that comes with life. Whether you're saved or lost, you're going to have those problems in life. And we're all walking in the same world. So, you know, God doesn't separate his people out and say, now my people are not going to have any trouble. And my people are, I'm going to make sure that they've got more than they need and all of that. No, that's just not the way that it works. And in Hebrews chapter 11, I was going to read at the end there when we get there, but that bears it out that that's not the way it is. Some of them, yeah, Abraham was rich, but there's been plenty of others who weren't rich, who God was with. Jesus became poor. Yeah, he who was rich became poor, that we who are poor might be made rich. So, and he's not talking about money and stuff. But Abraham dwelt in peace with his neighbors. That was another thing about him. Abraham tried to get along with everybody. Abimelech noticed that. Because, you know, everybody's not that way. Not everybody tries to get along with others, do they? No. Did you ever have a neighbor that was a jerk? Yeah. Well, boy, I hit a nerve there, didn't I? But really, most people are just, they just got their spurs out, don't they? They're just a spoiling for a confrontation with anybody. And they're just guarding everything they got, and you're not going to... And Abraham wasn't like that. There's several things in the Bible that shows us that he wasn't like that. One thing is right here in this little deal that we just read, as soon as he said, I'll swear to you, Abimelech, that we'll get along and I'll deal straight with you. But he said, I got an issue we got to talk about before we go any further. You're... Men out here came and violently took away a well that I dug. Well, now, do you think that Abraham wasn't well able to defend himself against those men who come and took that well? Don't you reckon if he slaughtered a bunch of kings just not very long ago with his 318 trained servants, Don't you think that he could have stopped them from taking that well? But he didn't. I mean, he went about it in a way to maintain peace. You know, Abraham did do that. That was a war, and he did fight. But that's the only time in his life that you see that happening. Abraham wasn't fighting with everybody around him. He wasn't a defending and a guarding against everything. He tried to get along with people. And he went the extra mile to get along with people. Abraham was a giver, not a taker. When they went to make their covenant here, who provided the lambs and the sheep and the oxen for the sacrifice? Abraham did. Abimelech, the king, didn't bring nothing. Abraham provided it. Willingly. And then he brought out the 7 ewe lambs and set them there, and I want you to take these. Well, what for? What does that mean? Well, I want you to take them so you'll remember that this well is mine. You know, I mean, Abraham got along with his neighbors. Back when before he came to where Abimelech was in Gerar, he had lived over there in Hebron, and he made a league with those 3 over there. Remember? They all went down with him to fight to deliver the people of Sodom and Lot from those kings that had taken them over. Those other 3 that lived in that same country were confederate with Abraham. They liked Abraham. They agreed with him not to fight with him. And he agreed not to fight with them. He agreed to leave their stuff alone and they'd leave him alone. Abraham got along with his neighbors. Abraham wasn't a taker. He was a giver. When Sarah died, they insisted that he take the land for a barren place as a gift. You remember that? We'll read it on later on. But Abraham, Sarah died, and he wanted to bury her in this certain place. But it wasn't his. It belonged to somebody else. And he inquired about it, and they said, "You just take whatever you want." Now that's the attitude of the people around Abraham toward him. That's how he got along with them. They said, "You're a friend. I mean, you are one of us. You just take whatever you want. It's yours." And he said, "No, no." He said, "I'll pay for it." And he insisted that he pay for that land. And the man finally said, "Well, if that's the only thing that's going to make you happy, but what's that betwixt thee and me? You know, I don't want your money." I mean, that's the kind of relationship Abraham had with his neighbors. Abimelech noticed that. That tells you something about whether God is with somebody or not. Now, you know, that's really important because, you know, I've been around a lot of people through the years, and they seem to think that the more at odds you are with everybody around you, the more at peace you are with God. They think it's some kind of a sign of spirituality to be have everybody mad at you. Well, that's not true. That is just not true. You know, we've mentioned it pretty often about Brother Earl down there. You know, Brother Earl, he's gone now, but he made that tape that we still got. You know, Brother Earl is singing. It's a classic, boy, I'm telling you. I mean, it sure ain't no professional, high class deal. Brother Earl is singing. But they told me that somebody else told me that in that little town where he lived, that they couldn't get enough of him. I mean, everybody that lived that knew him wanted one of his tapes because everybody loved him. You know, they may not have agreed with him on everything, but they liked him. And I just believe that that ought to be the way it is. If God's with you, you'll cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. Now, you can't always. I mean, I know, you know, there's times when it's just that way. Jesus had enemies. He loved people and he fed the multitudes and he healed the sick and the lame and the blind and the lepers and he wept over them and cried over Jerusalem. And how could he have shown any more compassion? He had compassion on the multitudes. But they crucified him. You know, you can't make all of them love you, but there's a whole bunch of people. There's more people love Jesus than anybody else who ever lived. I'll tell you that for sure. Don't you think so? So that was one of the things about Abraham that made Abimelech realize that God was with him in all that he did. You know, he also seen evidence of divine intervention, if you want to put it that way, in his life. Sarah had a baby when she was 90 years old. Now that speaks of divine intervention. I mean, what I'm saying there is Abimelech could see that God really did work in Abraham's life. It wasn't just talk. There was really some evidence that God was involved in Abraham's life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? A lot of people profess, but they don't possess. A lot of people profess, but they don't confess, like I was saying about the other night here. You know, I mean, it became obvious that God was really involved in Abraham's life. You remember the first conversation that's recorded in the Bible between Abraham and Abimelech. When Abimelech came to Abraham and after the dream, and he said, "What in the world is this that thou hast done unto me?" And about the fourth word out of Abraham's mouth was God. He said, When I came down here, I saw there was no fear of God in this place. And then the next line, he said, him and Sarah had agreed. He said, when God caused me to wander from my father's house. This is what we get. So see, Abraham, in his first words to Abimelech, established the fact that his life was led by God. Do you see that? I mean, he wasn't just cramming it down his throat and all this, but that was his first explanation about the whole thing. And his first statement about himself was that God was leading his life. God was involved in his life. Now, Abimelech probably, you know, he didn't know what to think about it then. Of course, God had spoken to him, so he would have believed it more than anybody else would have believed it. But Abraham's life was obviously had God's involvement in it. That's how you know. That's how you know if somebody's really of God or not. I mean, that's one way that you know whether God is really with you or not in all things that you do. Is he really involved? You know, most people will say, well, sure he is, but it's not. It's just shallow lip service. I'm talking about, is God really involved in your life? Or do you just go about doing what you want to do, what you feel you ought to do, what you think you ought to do? Oh, Brother Kenzie was going to preach the other night on the fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And so he was saying about that, you know. And I told him, that's the way it is. Most people live after their heart. Because that's what the world says to do. Follow your heart. That's the worst advice, the most ungodly advice that anybody could ever give or take. Because the Bible says if you do that, you're a fool. If you trust in your own heart, you're a fool. If you go by your feelings, if you just go by how I feel, I just feel like, and I told him, I said, most people go by their feelings and then attribute it to the Holy Ghost. I feel like God don't want me to do that, or I just don't feel like God wants me to do this, or I feel like God wants me to do that. The Holy Spirit don't lead you by feelings. The Holy Spirit leads you by the Word of God. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if you trust in that, in your feelings, your heart is the seat of your emotions. It's where you feel, and that's where those feelings are. It's in your heart, and you just go by that, you're going to end up in a mess. So how much involved is God in your life? I think that's one of the things that Abimelech seen in Abraham, that he didn't go just by feelings. He didn't make his major decisions in life by how he felt about it. He didn't hear that junk out of Abraham. Well, I just feel like God wants me, you know. What the Word of God says. That's how the Spirit of God will lead you. He'll lead you by the Word of God, by truth, not feelings. When you know the truth, then you'll have feelings. But what you better base your decisions on is the truth, not your feelings. How do you know God's with you? If you go by your feelings, you'll never know God's with you. You'll be stumbling and making bad mistakes and bad choices, and you'll end up in messes and confusion, and you'll wonder where in the world God is. Well, he wasn't there in the beginning. What are you talking about? How are you expecting to be in the middle of it when he wasn't there to start with? God is with you in all that you do. What Abimelech saw in Abraham was his faith. That's what he saw. That's what that's Abraham's shining attribute, his faith. Abraham summed all up in the New Testament as well as in Genesis, what we've already read back here. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abimelech saw a man who trusted God through the bad times, through the good times, when he had good things, when he had bad things. He trusted God. That's what establishes a testimony. Abimelech saw a man that was steady and didn't change and didn't wobble and was steadfast and had his mind made up, who had an anchor, who knew what he was, who knew who he was, who knew what it was about, and stayed with it. You know, the world's dying for that. That we're dying for that. These young people are dying for that. They need to see somebody that's steady and real. Somebody just believes God and really does and sticks with it. Faith. You know, faith is not always evidenced by victory in our life. Hebrews chapter 11. I was reading this the other night. I just looked it up because it's one of those places in the scripture that just sticks with me. And I go back to it every once in a while just to see. Let me read it to you here. Just the last part. I mean, you know, this is the heroes of the faith, they call it. The hall of fame of the faith or whatever you want to call it here. But it says here, and what more, in verse 32, what more, what shall I more say? I'll get it in a minute. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Listen, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Through faith they did all this. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women, boy, you like that part, don't you? It'd be good if faith worked that way all the time, we say, don't we? And everybody kind of believes that. They believe that, boy, if I have faith, that's the way it'll work. Yes, sir. We'll believe and we'll conquer. We'll believe and we'll win. We'll believe and we'll get what we want. It'll turn out just like we think it ought to turn out. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others. Uh-oh, now it's going to change to something else. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, the ones who conquered, subdued kingdoms, the ones who waxed valiant in fight, the ones who received their dead back to life again, all those stopped the mouths of lions. And the ones who were sawn and sundered, and the ones who were stoned, and the ones who wandered about, destitute, afflicted, and tormented, all of them obtained a good report through faith. A good report. What's that? Yeah. A good report is what others testify about you. What others know about you. God was with them. God was with them when they were sawn asunder. God was with them when they were stoned. God was with them when they wandered about and destitute. He was with them in the prison. Just like He was with them when they were conquering and winning and being blessed with the victory. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. It's faith. Don't change the focus to victory. Keep it on faith. It's faith. That's what Abimelech noticed about Abraham. That's what anybody will notice about us. And that's the only way that you'll ever know that God is with you is when you just believe God. Not for what He gives you, not for how things turn out for you, but just believe God anyway. Abraham believed God. Abimelech got to know Abraham. You know, after that first bad encounter there, don't you know he was watching him? Don't you know Abimelech was watching Abraham close? Because Abraham moved in and he was kind of a big deal. He wasn't just him and Sarah in their tent and their dog. You know, I mean, Abraham had a big company with him. He was a formidable guy. I mean, his household, his servants, his cattle, and all that he had with him. He was somebody to be reckoned with. And so Abimelech was watching him. After this first thing, he didn't know whether this guy was an enemy, going to be a problem, or what. But after a little time, he figured out what Abraham was. And that's what it takes. It takes a little time. We ought to be careful about judging people too quick. We ought to be careful about judging people over one circumstance in their life or one thing that they've done. For one thing, lost people especially, but even saved people, you don't know what God's doing in somebody else's life, and you don't know all the circumstances, and so you got to be careful. Now, right's right and wrong's wrong, and some of these things that Abraham did was wrong. But God was looking at Abraham's life, not one circumstance. And that's the way God does. You know, there's a lot of people that think that, boy, you're just walking a tightrope, and one little slip, and God will just bash you into the dirt, and you're gone. I mean, you're on trial all the time with God, and it's just not that way. You are His or you are not. And whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And He doesn't just throw you away for a stumbling place or something. That don't mean you live in sin. That don't mean you live in habitual, continual sin. But it means you got a Father in heaven that loves you, and He's looking at your whole life, and the whole thing depends on whether you have faith in Him or not. That's what He's looking for. That's how He judges your life. Abraham belonged to God, and God looked at Abraham's faith. And you know, we've talked about it all the way through, how Abraham's faith developed, and so does yours and mine. And it grows and develops into something more and bigger and stronger and more encompassing about our whole life. And God can see from beginning to end, and that's what He's looking at. But people don't do that. They just judge by what He did today, what He just said, what He just did. It's hard to ever win anybody over when you've stumbled in front of them, isn't it? You lose your temper. You say something smart to them or, you know, hateful. They'll never forgive you. You can't be of God. Well, at least Abimelech had enough character about him that he wasn't that way. At least he did back up and take a longer look and assess what Abraham was before he made any final judgment. And he came to the conclusion that God was with Abraham. Wonder how many of us, if we'd been living back then, wonder if we'd have judged that way. I wonder if we'd have been as righteous in our judgment as Abimelech was toward Abraham? Or would we have focused on Hagar and Ishmael and all of that mess? Not when it's all said and done. That's what's going to count, our faith in God. Now, is God really with you in all things that you do? If He is, then He's going to have control over our thoughts and our motives. He's going to have control over our tongues. If He's with us in all things that we do, then that means we're going to walk with Him. He's going to be an ever-present presence. His presence will always be in our life, in our thoughts, and we'll be careful about doing things. We won't make decisions without His counsel and His input. We'll go to His Word. We won't look in our heart and go out and lay around on the creek and just try to work up some feelings and see what we feel like we ought to do. We'll look in His Word. And we'll pray for His Spirit to guide us to His Word, through His Word, to know God's mind in whatever it is we're wrestling with. Amen. So is God with you in all things that you do? He was with Abraham. He made a believer out of Abimelech. And Abimelech wanted to make an agreement with Abraham. And he said, what he said was that you won't deal falsely with me or with my children or my grandchildren, but that you'll do good to me like I've done to you. Ain't it pitiful? You know, that lost people, they resort to that kind of thing, you know, really. But he knew Abraham was of God. He knew God was with Abraham, and he didn't want no trouble out of Abraham. That's the Philistines. They call them Palestinians now. If they had any sense, they'd do the same thing with God's people. Because I'm telling you something, God is still with Abraham. Abraham's with God now, but God's with Abraham's seed and the promise that He gave to Abraham. And they would be wise to make the same agreement and say, look, you know, if you'll just be good to us, we'll be good to you. Do you reckon they would? Yeah, they would. And they've said as much, you know, but I think it would be good for us to do the same thing. I mean, we ought to live at peace with those around us as much as lieth in you. If it be possible, live at peace with all men. Now, that's the will of God. And that's how people know that God's with us. That's one of the big things. They'll see His intervention in our life, His involvement in our life. That's the better way of putting it. When people look at you, do they see God's involvement in your life? Or do they just see your obsession with spook and booger things of God? Really? We heard some terrible news yesterday about a family that I can't believe it. Family all split up. You know, they used to. Oh, you would have thought they were the most, they wanted you to think they were the most spiritual people in the world. And that's what happens a lot of times, see. People are in love with the things of God, not with God Himself. They're involved there, but God's not involved in their life. And when God's involved in your life, God Himself is involved in your life. In the long run, people are going to see. And in the long run, there's going to be blessings, spiritual blessings that can't be denied. I mean, it's going to be obvious that there's more to you and more to your life than just the common old earthling around here that just lives according to the flesh. There's going to be an obvious difference. And if he could see it in Abraham, then the ones around us ought to be able to see it in us. And it all, and things that matter the most are just the little things that we say and the way we treat others. And so we need to be careful about that. We run our mouths too much. We say things we shouldn't say. Just over stupid little stuff that leaves an impression on other people that God's not involved in our life. When He really is. So we need to be careful, don't you think? Yes. Amen. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And thank You for helping us this morning. I pray You'd take what was said, even though it may have been jumbled up a little bit, and help us to get it. Lord, help us to live before You so that our neighbors and our loved ones and the ones around us that we know, after they get to know us, that they would really believe that God is with us in all that we do. I pray we'd have that testimony, not that we're just religious and we go to church once in a while and we claim to be this or that, but that they would see that You're involved in our daily life, that we do walk with You, that we do look to You for our needs and for our in our problems, and that without You we just couldn't even live. I pray that we'd leave that impression on people and really be that in our lives. Lord, help us, I pray, to just trust You in these hard times and these difficult days that we live in. Help these children, Lord, I pray they'd get a hold of this and really know there's a God in heaven that loves them, and that they would trust You and live for You and allow You to be involved in their life Yourself, and not just be religious and not just try to live by a bunch of rules and stuff, but to have You as their Lord and Savior in their life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well...